Hey folks, it's Jovan Hutton Pulitzer. I have a question for you. What is the 150-year-old Ku Klux Klan Act that is now being used to sue Donald J. Trump? Yeah, you heard me right. It was a breaking story just in that in a lawsuit reported by ABC News that former President Trump and Rudy Giuliani and others are being sued under the Ku Klux Klan Act for working with others and conspiring to incite violence at the Capitol. Is this a long shot, or is it just more proof that no matter what, if you speak out against the going trends in the system, that they will do everything they can in their power to bring you down, even if they have to resort to some obscure 150-year-old Ku Klux Klan Act? Find out what's going on and what that act really means when we get into it right after this.
Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
More what? Coffee?
No, more money, because now Geico's discounts are even bigger, like our pay-in-full discount when you pay your whole auto premium up front, and our multi-policy discount when you bundle homeowners and auto.
Oh, I like saving money.
Wake up.
Let's dairy pigeon.
What were you dreaming about?
Nothing.
Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Stretch your mind. It's that time again to yank your brain away from stinking thinking and wash it in new ideas and thoughts. It's time for your checkup from the neck up and maybe a massive mental enema. This yank is going to give your brain a crank, has been called a genius since his patents are part of every mobile device made. Get ready for him to reach into your ears and massage that brain of yours. Your host, Jovan Hutton Pulitzer.
Well, this one's definitely going to stretch your mind, folks. Do me a favor real quick. Will you please share this in your social media? Do it now while we're talking about it. Will you just share this? That's how this program grows, and we keep people informed. And today we're going to be talking about something new that's not so new and actually very old. 150-year-old in actual time. It's mind-boggling. What is this 150-year-old Ku Klux Klan Act, and it's being used against Donald J. Trump. Now, it's not the first time that this act has been invoked against former President Trump, but it might be the very first time you've heard about it. See, the NAACP and Representative Bernie Thompson, who's a Democrat out of Mississippi, has now sued the former President Trump for allegedly inciting the insurrection on the United States Capitol. Now, I know you're saying, what do you mean? There's all this evidence that it was planned. And yeah, we all even found out today that the fellow that was going in, that was a BLMer or whatever the case may be, helping incite this, we find out that two different news agencies, not only did he go in with a news reporter, but two different news agencies each paid him $35,000 for his footage he had on his cell phone while he was basically breaking into the Capitol that they keep on blaming on other people. But that's the facts, folks, and right now not anybody's dealing with the facts. And it's like this lawsuit. The lawsuit cites a Reconstruction-era law commonly referred to as the Ku Klux Klan Act. Now, among other things, the act was originally empowered the president to suspend the writ of habeas corpus to address voter suppression led by the Ku Klux Klan without obstruction from state officials. Basically, it was a way to pave the way for making sure everybody had their rights. And what they're doing is they're flipping this. It's a little odd for the very party that created the Ku Klux Klan to actually use it against an opposing political party. The irony is certainly not lost on me. But now, right, a very law that in the wake of the Civil War, it's actually called the Enforcement Act of 1871, gave presidents the power to suspend the writ of habeas corpus to protect the voting rights of Black Americans, which were under threat from the Ku Klux Klan, the KKK, or other white supremacy organizations. And now here we are with one president standing accused of violating it. Now, this is really odd to me, but here's the most odd part of this that I want you to understand right up front as I give you the details behind this story. Now, in this particular suit, it is suing Donald J. Trump personally as a civilian. The kicker is, the people bringing it, this committee chairman, Bernie Rep Thompson of Mississippi, right, who sits on this committee, he does not, and the court does not, have to prove anything. Usually in a court, it's about proving something beyond a reasonable doubt, right? Nope. This is a civil lawsuit. They don't have to prove anything. And it was filed in U.S. District Court in Washington, D.C., and it was filed on behalf of Thompson in his personal capacity, filed by the NAACP, and the civil rights law firm of Cohen, Milstein, Sellers, and Toll. And they are seeking unspecified compensatory and punitive damages. And it's suing Donald Trump in his personal capacity, alleging that he acted outside the scope of his office and he incited the rioters. Now, understand what's going on here. Most of you have seen footage, have seen cell phone footage that has luckily made its way around the internet, totally being suppressed by the media and by socialist media. And you see footage to the contrary. You see even in the impeachment trial, the second trial, that the footage was edited. But here they go, bound and determined to bring a person, a family, a name down, no matter what. Now, is this the new formula? Have they learned from social media and have they learned from the cancel culture that it takes just a few to squeal and cancel somebody? And if you have the media on your side, no matter what, then you can say anything you want. And if, in fact, thanks to the Smith-Mundt Act, that the government can seed stories that are false and use it as propaganda against the citizens, and also the newscast can report false news and have no legal ramification. Well, look at how much this is trending today as if it's an absolute fact. Now, let's understand a little bit about this background so you could understand how it came about. First off, the writ of habeas corpus allowed people who believed they had been unlawfully detained or imprisoned to have their day in court. Now, during the Civil War, this right was suspended by President Lincoln altogether, allowing the military to both take and then release prisoners after the war without holding mass trials. It means they could imprison people, they did not have to hold trials, and then they could let them go. Now, during the Reconstruction era, however, it took on a new meaning. Now, as the KKK and other white supremacist groups sought to prevent Black Americans from exercising their vote, I want to share with you. Isn't it the irony here that, you know, if you voted a certain way, it has now been calling you a white supremacist. You know, if you say all lives matter, that that's a white supremacist statement. Can you see where this leads? Can you see the words trying to warp and redrive history? They're trying to paint anybody who does not agree with it as a white supremacist. By harking back to a time when people actually did prevent black Americans from exercising their right to vote. Yes, the Democratic Party created the Ku Klux Klan and was terrified of black Americans voting, because the very people that owned the plantations were the politicians now in the Democrat Party. So what happened is eventually President Grant asked for this power in order to send federal troops in to intervene, especially in the southern states, and defend the 14th Amendment. Now, that's some of the history of how it started. We're going to dive deeper into this. I want to share my thoughts with you, and I want to prepare you that this might be the new type of war fought over ideas and beliefs. We're in a war right now. We're in a digital war. We're in a cyber war, and we're certainly in a social media war. But now, if you don't go along, maybe they're just going to continue to use weird laws against you just to keep you from speaking what you believe. It's all about killing freedom of thought and free speech. We'll talk about it more right after this.
Did you know that Jovan is an Ashkenazi Jew? What is an Ashkenazi Jew? Ashkenazim are a Jewish diaspora population who coalesced in the Holy Roman Empire around the end of the first millennium. The traditional diaspora language of Ashkenazi Jews is Yiddish, developed after they had moved into Northern Europe, beginning with Germany and France in the Middle Ages. Here are some other well-known Ashkenazi Jews: Sergey Brin, founder of Google; Alan Dershowitz, Harvard Law professor; Mark Zuckerberg, founder of Facebook; Larry Ellison, founder of Oracle; Steven Spielberg; Leonard Nimoy; and even Albert Einstein. Here are some weird facts about Ashkenazi Jews. First, history suggests they were winnowed through persecution throughout history. Studies show that Ashkenazi Jews can trace their ancestry back to a bottleneck of just 350 surviving individuals dating back between 600 to 800 years ago. It has been said that only the smartest Jews survived persecution. And it is believed this is what led to Ashkenazi Jews having a very unusual cognitive profile, combined with the highest average IQ of any ethnic group in the world today. See, I told you, Jovan really is a total weirdo.
Okay, it's like Albert Einstein said, anyone who's never made a mistake has never tried anything new. And we cannot solve our problems with the same thinking we used when we created them. Let's get back to the show.
So I'm going to give you a little bit of history of this Enforcement Act of 1871, also known as the Ku Klux Klan Act. Third Enforcement Act, the Third Ku Klux Klan Act, and the Civil Rights Act of 1871, or otherwise known as the Forced Act of 1871. Now, I want to warn you, this is history, and even though history is being scrubbed, isn't that funny? A normal name for scrubbing is whitewashing, and here, in many instances, far left-leaning individuals are whitewashing history to give another history of the United States of America as opposed to the actual history of United States of America. You think they'll keep on calling it whitewashing, or will that become a no-no word in the future? Now, this particular act, and I want you to pay very close attention to my inflections of what I'm going to talk about, because words matter, especially in this case. Now, the act was passed by the 42nd United States Congress and signed into law by the United States President at the time, Ulysses S. Grant, on April 20th, 1871. The act was the last of three enforcement acts passed by the United States Congress from 1870 to 1871 during the Reconstruction era to combat attacks on the suffrage right of Black Americans. Now, of course, I'm sharing this from Wikipedia, who now refers to it as African Americans. I think that's ironic because it doesn't mean everybody who's Black's African, but that's okay. Hey, facts don't matter anymore. Now, since this was passed back in 1871, did you know about the Civil Rights Act of 1871? You don't hear a lot about it. You hear a lot about civil rights during the Johnson presidency, but you don't really hear much about when it really first came about. And so I want you to understand the history behind this. See, in January 1871, Senator John Scott of Pennsylvania, he convened a congressional committee to hear testimony from witnesses of the Klan atrocities, meaning the very people that had the Ku Klux Klan attack them, hurt them, kill them, maim them, run them out of business. He got another congressman, Benjamin Franklin Butler of Massachusetts, and they introduced this anti-Klan bill. And it was intended to enforce both the 14th Amendment and the Civil Rights Act of 1866. Period. 1866. Now, this sounds weird because you usually don't hear Civil Rights Act of 1866, but you do hear about it 100 years later of 1966. But then again, facts don't matter. Well, the bill originally got defeated in the House, and they had to call on another rep, Samuel Shellabarger of Ohio. And they introduced a substitute bill, only slightly, a little bit less than the Butler's original bill. And everybody in the party came into a line, and the bill passed the House. It sailed right through the Senate and was signed into law on April 20th by President Grant. Now, why does that matter? Because the bill and everything started by Republican Senator John Scott of Pennsylvania, who then brought in Republican Congressman Benjamin Franklin Butler of Massachusetts, who then brought in Republican Representative Samuel Shellabarger of Ohio, who then brought all the Republicans in line and shoved the Democrats down and passed it in the House and through the Senate till it was signed into law April 20th by President Grant. Now, do you get the subtlety there? The subtlety is everybody forgets their history. Who freed the slaves? Why the slaves were free and given their rights, and why they were even battling for civil rights then and granting them back in the 42nd Congress of the United States. Think about that. Because you know what? History matters. And all of a sudden, in that 100-year flip, you see the effects of scrubbing history, hijacking history, and taking it over to mean something else. And what is that something else? Well, the very political party and group of individuals that started the Ku Klux Klan, now somehow in 2021, are the overlords and masters of everything to do with color and oppression, saying they represent you. That befuddles the mind. And that shows you that the people who control the information have the ability to rewrite history to make people believe something completely different than what is actually historic fact. And so now they're reaching back in time, and the NAACP has sued U.S. President Donald Trump and the Republican Party under the act. Because they say, ready for this, that the Republican Party coordinated conspiracy to disenfranchise black voters. And through legal actions intended to overturn the results of the 2020 presidential election through intimidation and coercion of election officials and volunteers. Now, that's the newest update to Wikipedia right now. What it doesn't talk about is all of these left-leaning states changing all of their rules and not even doing it in the proper process that brought up these actions. See, they neglect that. These states unanimously across the board enacted rules, new procedures, new ways to do it without getting the vote of their constituents, without following, in many cases, the rule of law that made all of these discrepancies occur. And now that one party is saying, wait, you weren't supposed to do that. No, you can't do that. No, that was against the rules. Well, the one party that changed the rules is saying, nope, you're trying to overturn it. And because you're trying to overturn it, you're using intimidation and coercion. I sit here today in February 2021. Ironically, it's the 19th. Our Supreme Court should be hearing some of these today. We'll know more later. But I'm sitting here actually reading, quote unquote, what's supposed to be the encyclopedia of the world, knowing that the facts aren't represented correctly. And here we are again, you know, this firm, Cohen, Milstein, Sellers and Toil, that's what they're to do. That's their jobs. They're doing their job on behalf of their clients. But their client is this U.S. Representative Democrat Bernie Thompson. And there were other congresspersons who joined in, too. But what they're saying is that in a suit that President Donald Trump, Rudy Giuliani, the Proud Boys and Oath Keepers, you know, the big Christian organization of Oath Keepers, all basically were trying to reject the certification of election results during the 2021 United States Electoral College vote, during the count, and that they were the ones to incite the violence leading to the 2021 storming of the U.S. Capitol. Now, I didn't see a storming of the Capitol. And I believe if you were on a side calling yourself a conservative, you should have never been there and been sucked into that melee. But I also believe when I watch some of the footage that a lot of it is very, very questionable. But it just seems like everybody's ignoring it all to serve a political agenda. And I think the greater part of the optics of this is to get American people to stand down, shut up, and do what government tells you to do. See, that's the bigger risk here. The bigger risk here is what's truth, or standing up for your family, or the way you live your life, the freedoms you have, want, deserve, and were given by God, that if you stand up for those, that you're going to be hammered to death with lawsuits, canceled, run out of business, kicked out of your homes, kicked out of your jobs. And so basically, shut the fuck up, sit down, and don't say anything, and we'll tell you how you're supposed to live. Do you agree with that? Do you think that's okay? Do you, you know, anybody can sue for anything. I understand that. But we have to look at why they're doing it. Do you actually believe that the president incited a riot? What can we believe when the media won't show everything? What can we believe when we're not even allowed to debate it and to share back and forth? See, that's the bigger question for me, is if you can't share online actual footage that was there, why? What are they afraid of? And I submit to you that possibly what they're afraid of is the truth. And the reason they're afraid of the truth is because that event at the Capitol might have been talked about and planned in advance so we could get to this point in time and create more chaos. That's what it looks like to me. We'll dive into it deeper right after this.
President of Coke once said, Jovan set his hair on fire with tons of new ideas. So, while you pat out the fire on your head, let's give Jovan a break. Be right back, right after this.
You can find Jovan on Twitter at Jovan H. Pulitzer.
His website and blog are the same, just go to jovanhuttonpulitzer.org.
He is on Facebook too. Just go to Facebook.com/JovanHuttonPulitzer. You can find Jovan on YouTube, Gab, MeWe, Parler, Telegram, and more. Just search #JovanHuttonPulitzer.
Talk about a unique name. Jovan is very unique. Did you know the name Jovan harks back to the time of Christ? It is of Hebrew and Latin origin, and the meaning of Jovan is God is gracious, Father. Jova in Latin origins means Jove-like or majestic. In Roman times it was the name for Jupiter. In mythology Jupiter was the supreme deity of Roman mythology, corresponding to the Greek deity Zeus. Now you know why Jovan is such an oddball.
Imagine on one side your mother's grandfather long ago was Richard III, Duke of Gloucester, and a knight of the most noble order of the Garter. Then on his father's side Jovan is related to American founding father, the principal author of the Declaration of Independence, and third president of the United States, Thomas Jefferson. Talk about controversial family history. No wonder Jovan is such a firebrand. Let's get back to the oddball.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. No more fucking ABBA.
We're back, and this podcast will give you a massive dose of tech and business savvy. So let's get started. Here's Jovan.
What I hope to have happen here is make a little bit of sense after all of the chaos that's going on. And if you just look at even how some of these articles are written, how can anybody in state or local government basically expect the human populace, right, to actually heal or work together or come together, especially over voting, if you can't even discuss some of the things going on? If you can't discuss it and you can't share it and you can't look at the facts, you can't use reasoning. Is that part of what's going on here? Is we've got to make sure that a reasoning goes away? You know, we're talking about this Ku Klux Klan Act, this Third Enforcement Act, this Civil Rights Act of 1871. Now, the reason they say that President Trump's in trouble is because he didn't want to certify the election and was trying to undo it. But what's really interesting is in several states, just like Pennsylvania, it is actually on record that they changed their election laws without consulting their state legislature as required in Article 2 of the Constitution. The facts are just getting left by the wayside. And then I read this ABC article, right? Now, I understand they believe it has some teeth. And here's what I mean. You know, you don't file something 100% frivolous. You got to think you're going to have some win come out of it, right? You got to have a basis for it, or you used to have a basis for it. But this particular litigation, you know, there were a long list of other cases in recent decades, and they're usually used to bring out financial penalties, right? And some of those penalties are, look, I can't keep fighting, just go away. And they say, okay, write a big check, we'll go away. You have to understand that. But it was also used successfully to expose networks or financiers of hate groups. Now, it's very alarming that some of these elected officials are saying, if you happen to have contributed to any conservative campaign, Republican or not, that that's a hate group, therefore you funded a hate group. But nonetheless, this is what the law that was used in 2001 to actually shut down, rightly so, Aryan Nation's Idaho compound. But if you just look at the words that these people use. And when I say these people, the attorneys and everybody in, painting it in a way that I just don't get. I mean, do you think you could just walk up to the Capitol or Congress or anything like that and just walk in with helmets and bats and gas masks? Do you think you could just walk in? Hell no, you'd be probably shot where you were standing, but yet we all just watch people walk in. But we forget that point. We're told, don't pay attention there, pay attention over here. This is the lawsuit. This is what's wrong. Not other people where there's video footage of Capitol Police saying, hey, come on in. Hey, come on in. In fact, this article in ABC says, after witnessing Capitol Police barricading the doors of the House chamber with furniture, Thompson and fellow lawmakers donned gas masks and were rushed into the Longworth House office building, where they were sheltered with more than 200 other representatives, staffers, and family members. Now, this is the fellow filing the lawsuit. After witnessing Capitol Police barricading the doors of the House chamber, I didn't see any of that. Did you see any barricading of the doors? I saw people going in. I actually saw what I believe to be Capitol Police saying, yeah, come on in. Hey, come on up. Why the disconnect? Why look at one and not look at the other? Why are we told that, nope, the Capitol Police were trying to defend everybody and these people rushed them? The most secure building in the nation outside of Fort Knox. Come on, folks. But we're supposed to ignore the gates being open, the doors being open, and actual police just say, hey, come on in, come on in. Well, this fellow went on to say, January 6th was one of the most shameful days in our history. And it was instigated by the president himself. He said that, this Thompson fellow said, his gleeful support of violent white supremacists led to a breach of the Capitol that put my life and that of my colleagues in grave danger. I'm not sure I saw that. Even in the little bit of footage that we're seeing, I'm not sure I saw that. Now, this Thompson fellow, here's what he's asking specifically. Okay? Because remember, he's saying that the president says that the president basically discharges duties, and basically his duties were to keep the state, right, safe. And his duties as an officer that are required of the president is to make sure that nothing impedes his discharging of his official duties. Isn't that what the police did when they let people in? Didn't the police do this? See, what they're saying that Donald J. Trump did, which the video doesn't show, they're showing Capitol Police and others doing. You don't see the media that shows Donald Trump do this or say this because it doesn't exist. In fact, he was saying to the opposite. But you see all kinds of publishing online saying he did incite this. And in fact, it's everywhere. Look it up. Look up the Capitol riot. It's really weird because it's being written. Many of us witnessed it through all these videos that were posted. It doesn't look like that. The people's words don't match that. You see a lot of people trying to get the police to stop those fellows from breaking in. But yet it was some big white supremacist plan. I find it's a further disconnect that the person that went in the building first, that did get arrested but got released with a slap on a wrist, is a black young fellow who was also part of BLM and was making BLM stump speeches right outside the Capitol before he did that, who got paid by two news organizations $35,000 each. He made $70,000 walking in there. And yet, it was a black fellow who did that, but they want you to believe that this black fellow led a white supremacist movement in the building. Right? It's don't pay attention to facts. Look over here. Look over here. Aren't you getting tired of it? I'm getting tired of it. Now, these guys, this Thompson fellow, is seeking compensation for the emotional and physical distress he suffered. And he's asking the courts to punish Trump, Giuliani, the Proud Boys, and Oath Keepers for violating his right to be free from intimidation and threats in discharge of his official duties. Now, he's suing in a personal capacity, not as a member of the House of Representatives, okay? So that means he is not suing on the behalf of his constituents. And, of course, he's not supposed to be able to use resources available to him as a legislator in pursuing this lawsuit, which basically means any compensation that comes down goes to him. But why is this being allowed? Is it just to whitewash history? Is it just to brainwash the American public that if you talk out against us, you're going to be in trouble? Is it to say if you ever dispute an election result, even though all the laws were changed without due process, that you're going to come under attack permanently? It's just, for me, it's just disconnect after disconnect after disconnect after disconnect. We're supposed to believe this was a Capitol riot, white supremacist riot led by a young black male who was part of an organization saying blacks were suppressed. But they don't want any of us to look at the disconnects. I don't get it. But I do get to what's going on in our country. And I don't recognize our country anymore. And that terrifies me. And when we come back, I'm going to tell you what I plan to do. And hopefully, it helps you decide what you need to do as well. be back right after this.
Your host for this program is Jovan Hutton Pulitzer, the internet pioneer who created Scan to Connect and Scan Commerce. You know, while you're able to scan codes with your mobile device and get information. So hang tight, we'll be right back.
You can find Jovan on Twitter at Jovan H. Pulitzer.
His website and blog are the same, just go to jovanhuttonpulitzer.org.
He is on Facebook too. Just go to Facebook.com/JovanHuttonPulitzer. You can find Jovan on YouTube, Gab, MeWe, Parler, Telegram, and more. Just search #JovanHuttonPulitzer.
Talk about a unique name. Jovan is very unique. Did you know the name Jovan harks back to the time of Christ? It is of Hebrew and Latin origin, and the meaning of Jovan is God is gracious, Father. Jovan in Latin origins means Jove-like or majestic. In Roman times it was the name for Jupiter. In mythology Jupiter was the supreme deity of Roman mythology, corresponding to the Greek deity Zeus. Now you know why Jovan is such an oddball.
Imagine on one side your mother's grandfather long ago was Richard III, Duke of Gloucester, and a knight of the most noble order of the Garter. Then on his father's side Jovan is related to American founding father, the principal author of the Declaration of Independence, and third president of the United States, Thomas Jefferson. Talk about controversial family history. No wonder Jovan is such a firebrand. Let's get back to the oddball.
Did you know Jovan gets fingered by almost a billion people a day? Yep, that's every time they use certain features on their mobile device and click it with their finger to make it work. And they don't even know his weird brain came up with that. Now back to the show.
I think the only people getting the finger right now is anybody who doesn't buy into this groupthink that America is racist and a horrible place. I would have never thought that newscast or, you know, I've always known there was bias. But would they ever undertake an agenda to tell you your country's horrible? And how do people actually believe that? Maybe becoming zombies is not you become flesh-eating, but you become soul-eating and you eat your soul out because you hate yourself, because you hate your country. Maybe we've already been infected. Maybe that was the plan, to take young minds just to make them hate their nation. But I would have never thought that the media would literally jump on the bandwagon to try to make everybody hate everything about their nation. Now, if you put it into the context of we're trying to bring your nation down, and America, who pays the ticket for the world, we want to bring you down and cut you down to size, then that makes sense, right? See, there was a survey back in, I think it was published by The Hill, back in July of 2020. And back then they said that more than half the voters think American society is racist. And that was a poll from NBC News and the Wall Street Journal, that the majority of voters say American society is racist. They go on to point out that it's nearly identical to the results of a similar survey in 1988. 1988. They want you to believe that even back as far as 1988, that everything's still the same. See, I don't believe that. I think the only thing that changed is instead of everybody being Americans, we became hyphenated, like African Americans, even if your heritage is not African. How racist is that? If you have pigment, you're African American. You might not be African American. You might not even be African American predominantly. How is that not racist? Why? When did we stop becoming Americans? Oh, that's right. It all started coming about in the late 80s and 90s and slipped in right underneath us. And here we are. Do you really believe that our society, the American society, is racist? And according to this report, that decades later, that the number has barely budged and Americans are more pessimistic than ever. I don't get that. We just went through a period when black unemployment was the highest in history, black wages the highest in history, black education and graduation and college education, and especially Ivy League college graduations, are higher than they've ever been in history. We have black society as some of the top wealth earners in American society. Movies, sports, business people, you name it, entertainers, huge, huge wealth. We have black people in every profession in the world, including on our Supreme Court. We've had a black president. We've got all these politicians who are black. And here it is in mid-2020 saying, nope, it's still worse than it's ever been. I do not get that. And the reason I don't get it is probably the same reason you don't get it, is because it's not true. It leads back to this crap about dog whistles, right? Oh, that's just the dog whistle. Well, let me point something out. If a dog whistle is a silent call to get people to know what you're saying when you're really not saying it, it implies that only dogs can hear it. So aren't the very people claiming dog whistles, in fact, the dogs themselves? Because I don't hear that shit. But they hear it? See? Facts don't matter. Even reasoning doesn't matter. They're now trying to tell you that you may not think you're racist, but that's not enough. I don't get it. It makes no sense. And that's what is going on here. It doesn't have to make sense. We are now defined by you either accept what the group says or you don't count. The very thing that they're saying was done to people of color, that you don't count, you don't get to vote, you don't get to have a business, you don't get to have a degree, you don't get to have a job, is exactly what they're wanting done. It's what the Nazis did to the Jews. You don't matter. You can't have a job. You can't operate. You can't make money. We won't let you deal with the banks. We'll run you out of business. We'll burn down your store. We will put you in re-education camps. You will identify yourself by all this other stuff. And yet, here we are today, supposed to be a modern society. And history is repeating itself. Only a sick society tears down monuments to history regardless of the history, because it is those monuments and remembering history that gets people to discuss in two ways both sides of the equation to make sure history never repeats itself in those negative ways. I never understood the tearing down of Civil War monuments. To me, that means if you scratch everything Civil War, then people won't know what the Civil War was over and won't learn from it and see how far we've come. Now, maybe that's it. Maybe that's the big agenda. Maybe that's the woke toke that's going on. If they erase the Civil War, then they can tell you, well, it never happened and you're still enslaved. Is that the agenda? Because nothing makes sense to me, and I'm a smart guy. Truly, truly believe I am a smart guy. But I don't get this weird strategy. I don't get the strategy to basically enact racist things, meaning if you're white, you're bad, you're that's inherently racist. Grand labeling of people over pigments is racist. Isolating people for their beliefs because they're not the same as yours is racist. But right now, doing the racist things is what's not racist. How does that make sense? It happened to us, folks, because we didn't pay attention. And if you look at any of these far left-leaning things, they all have organizations in every state and every community. And what they actually do is they find any seat that's open. They find a like-minded individual that will promote their agenda, and they make sure that person gets elected. And then that person, throughout time, moves up through the ranks. But they're always getting their thoughts, their style, their pent-up anger in. And I believe this anger is to undo us. If you're a person of color and you're listening to this, how could defunding the police help anybody? If you're an immigrant to this country, like my family, I'm only first generation, how can you think that you want to escape a socialist country to come to a country to survive, but you must vote for these people because they're going to make sure they turn it socialist? I don't get it. And it's actually not politics that undid us. It's education that undid us. It's history that undid us. We stopped learning, we stopped caring, and we stopped talking about history, and we stopped having dialogues. And one of the biggest lies ever sold to Americans is never discuss politics or religion. Look at where it got us. How many times have you been told that in companies or at family dinners or gatherings, do not discuss politics or religion? I think that was the biggest lie ever told of mankind. Because mankind thrives when they discuss politics and religion and know where the other party stands and they figure out how to work together. But if you make politics and religion off limits and taboo, it's how one comes in and wins and forces you to think their think. You want this undone? Wake up. It's now like you don't only have to eat local and to garden local and to buy local. You better start voting local. You better start paying attention to every single vote from your homeowners association down, or up, I should say. Because everything matters. And you should be having discussions with family and friends regarding religion and politics. You should know where you stand, not to divide like is what's going on, but to come together and to understand each other. And so maybe let's start working together on education. Let's start paying attention to history. Let's start paying attention to every vote like your very life, which it does, depends on it. And let's start discussing more politics and religion so we can understand each other better and find out how to coexist and to make this happen and get back to being the free America we all know and love dearly, that all kinds of countries around the world broke into to get here, and not allow this censoring and suppression to take hold. We must continue to talk. And if you're with me, please share this program on your social media. And let's continue to have this dialogue. Until next time, thank you.
By fast.
Thanks for being with us.
You've been listening to Jovan Hutton-Pulitzer live. And as Jovan says, if you can dream it, you can do it. Speaking of doing it, let's do this again next time. Find Jovan on all social media.
Or search hashtag Jovan Hutton-Pulitzer.
Or by visiting jovanhuttonpulitzer.org.
Until next time.